The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The church celebrates the memorial of St. Isidore the farmer. When he was quite young, Isidore went to work as a day laborer on the estate of a wealthy landowner from the nearby town where he lived, and he worked there for the rest of his life. And Isidore began each day, as many of you do, by attending Mass, then later arriving, at times late, to join his fellow workers. So convicted was he in his faith and his relationship with the Lord that at times we could say that he lacked appropriate discipline to stay steadfast in his labors, instead choosing to go off away from his work and choosing to pray, coming late for Mass for having spent time in adoration, or leaving work early at times. This is sort of part of the charming story of Isidore, the Spanish farmer. His wife, in fact, is also a saint, Santa Maria de la Cabeza. This devotion to the Holy Head is something that still remains throughout parts of Spain and Portugal. They had only one son together who died in infancy. There are many legends that surround the life of Saint Isidore. In particular, one that I find quite charming is his boss, concerned for Isidore's lack of attention to his duties, went to observe if he was working faithfully in the field, and the Lord supplied two angels as representative of him to work the fields for him so that Isidore could go and pray. So perhaps you can try that at times. I'm not sure that that would work with your bosses, but good luck. I think the example for us from someone when we read sort of the life of this saint that, for all intents and purposes, is kind of unremarkable. Like, going through his hagiography today, he was a farmer, and he farmed, and then he died. There's much more to his life, and I'm sure Spain would have a lot more to say about it, but there's something, I think, for each one of us, friends, is we're sort of looking for that next thing, sort of waiting to see where the Lord might be inviting us. We're looking, where is holiness? It's something that often sits there, at least it seems to, on the horizon for us. When everything is just so, then I'll be holy. When I'm at that next position at work, or when I finish school, or when I find my vocation, or when I get accepted into this place, or when I receive my spouse, or whatever the case may be, we're always sort of like putting holiness off for the next thing. If you've ever found yourself in like mid-February being like, I can't wait till Lent, then I'll start being so holy. That sort of sense of saying like, yeah, in 2 weeks, once we hit Ash Wednesday, then I'll really redouble my efforts for the Lord. Between now and then, I can just coast. That temptation is one that the devil really likes to prey upon. And so St. Paul, who is sort of exhorting the presbyters to keep watch over themselves and the flock entrusted to their care, the spiritual principle that remains for us is remaining steadfast in our truth, remaining steadfast to the truth, which is God's word, and of serving others in our humility and in our selflessness. And it is this what it means, this is what it means really to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, to make ourselves holy by steeping ourselves, grounding ourselves in such a disciplined way in the truth and goodness and beauty of the one who comes to transform us. And so we're sort of looking for these transcendentals. We could be so tempted to sort of make it so great when in reality, the life of St. Isidore was waking, attending Mass, walking to work, tilling the fields, observing the Lord's days, sort of like making holiness through sort of like the very raw material of his own life, to embrace the mission of our daily work, to embody the values of charity and kindness and integrity. This is what it means to sort of just ground ourselves very deeply. So I share this with you, friends, because I acknowledge the same temptation that we all have. The same temptation that we all have is to set aside in our own lives sort of like our prayer and our work and to never sort of let them come together. But it's really in this place where we sanctify, as St. Therese would say, doing these small acts with great love, that holiness really begins to be built up in us. So I was reflecting on this and really praying with sort of the witness of Isidore, and I was reminded of a classmate that I had from Rome who was so devoted to St. Isidore. He grew up on a farm, and so St. Isidore was his guy, and so we remember Father today. But in so many ways, I was reminded of the words that were sort of emblazoned above the tower that sort of loomed over our sports field. And it said, etched into the stone, resonare Christum corde Romano. Resonare Christe corde Romano. Resonate Christ with the Roman heart. Resonate Christ with the Roman heart. And I was reflecting on that because I was reminded of a talk that was given on this phrase, and that actually the fullness of that phrase is not complete. It's enough for us who studied in Rome, for those of you perhaps who've had the great privilege of visiting Rome and being at the center of Christendom, for each one of us faithful Roman Catholics, knowing and seeing Christendom there in the center, in the heart of it, of Peter and Paul, these two princes of the church who came to the center of Rome. We see Rome, importantly, as the center of our faith in so many ways. And so the phrase in of itself makes sense. But why I love the phrase is because it's not actually quite true. It's not full. It's not complete. And there's an invitation for each one of us. The fullness of the phrase is actually from a hymn dedicated to Saint Benedict and the Benedictine order. And then it says, for you, per te, barbari discunt resonare Christum corde Romano. From you, the barbarians, the unchurched, have learned to resonate Christ with the Roman heart. For those of you familiar with the life of Saint Benedict, we see that the same invitation and the same way in which Saint Benedict sought to save Western Europe, they did so by this very quiet invitation into their mantra, ora et labora, prayer and work. And it wasn't moving from one to the next. It was their work sanctified by their prayer, and as their prayer sanctified by the goodness of their work, of in humility and kindness and truth, pouring themselves into what was right in front of them. Friends, this is the remedy for our culture today, is to sort of be individuals who can go into our places of work, our schools, our homes, our environments, and be grounded and consecrated in the truths of these two pillars. The daily labor that's sanctified by our prayer, and the prayer that is grounded by the goodness of our labor that we offer to the Lord. So this is the great witness of saints like Saint Isidore, or saints like Saint Benedict, that to resonate Christ with the Roman heart, the barbarians learn to become churched by following the example of Benedict and examples of saints that would follow, like Saint Isidore himself.